All right, well, let's turn to Deuteronomy tonight, please. Deuteronomy. Don't stand because we are going to read a lot of words. Okay? Chapter 9. Deuteronomy chapter 9. We're going to read all of chapter 9, and we're going to read the first 11 verses of chapter 10. So I'm just giving you a warning. We need to read all of it, because when I get going here, I'm not going to go back through with a fine-tooth comb and come back through all of these verses. So we need to kind of have a broad view of it. So we're going to read all of chapter 9 of Deuteronomy again, and we're going to read through chapter 10, verse 11. And that's where we'll stop our reading, okay? Just follow along as I read out loud. Deuteronomy 9, the Bible says, "Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day, to go in to possess nations greater and mightier than thyself, cities great and fenced up to heaven, a people great and tall, the children of the Anakims, whom thou knowest, and of whom thou hast heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak? Understand therefore this day that the Lord thy God is he which goeth over before thee. As a consuming fire he shall destroy them. He shall bring them down before thy face, so shalt thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord hath said unto thee. Speak not." Now I want you to note what Moses here is telling them not to say or think. He says, "Speak not," and then he tells. So watch this. "Speak not thou in thine heart after that the Lord thy God hath cast them out from before thee, saying," now here's what he's saying, don't say this, "for my righteousness the Lord hath brought me into possess this land. But for the wickedness of these nations the Lord doth drive them out from before thee." So God through Moses is saying, don't think that God is driving these people out because of you, or because of your righteousness. Or let me say it this way, because you deserve it. God's driving them out because of their wickedness. That's what he said. Now verse 5. "Not for thy righteousness or for the uprightness of thine heart dost thou go to possess their land, but for the wickedness of these nations the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee, and that he may perform the word which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." So the two reasons would be because of the wickedness of the nation. Number two would be to fulfill the promise to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob to give the land. But again, not because of your righteousness. Verse 6, "Understand therefore that the Lord thy God giveth thee not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness, for thou art a stiff-necked people. Remember and forget not how thou provokest the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness, from the day that thou didst depart out of the land of Egypt until ye came unto this place. Ye have been rebellious against the Lord." This is quite a testimony about something, watch, that has already happened. And he said, don't forget, verse 7, which implies that it's sort of common for them to forget that. They were so rebellious so consistently. Now verse 8, "Also in Horeb ye provoked the Lord to wrath, so that the Lord was angry with you to have destroyed you." Now Moses is talking, says, "When I was gone up into the mount to receive the tables of stone," that's the Ten Commandments, "even the tables of the covenant which the Lord made with you, then I abode in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. I neither did eat bread nor drink water. The Lord delivered unto me two tables of stone written with the finger of God, and on them was written according to all the words which the Lord spake with you in the mount out of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly." That's the Ten Commandments. By the way, written with the finger of God. I love the imagery. Verse 11. "And it came to pass at the end of 40 days and 40 nights that the Lord gave me the two tables of stone, even the tables of the covenant. And the Lord said unto me, Arise, get thee down quickly from hence, for thy people which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They are quickly turned aside out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten image. Furthermore, the Lord spake unto me, saying, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Let me alone, God says, that I may destroy them and blot out their name from under heaven, and I will make of thee a nation mightier and greater than they. God is saying to Moses, I'm going to destroy Israel, and I'm just going to create, or through you, make a new nation. That's what God says. Look what Moses says next. Verse 15. So I turned, Moses says, and came down from the mount, and the mount burned with fire, and the two tables of the covenant were in my two hands. And I looked, and behold, ye had sinned against the Lord your God, and had made you a molten calf. Ye had turned aside quickly out of the way which the Lord had commanded you. And I took the two tables and cast them out of my two hands and break them before your eyes. You know what that symbolizes? Surely you see it. That they had broken the covenant with God. They, in their stiff-necked, rebellious spirit, worshiping other gods, had broken covenant with God almost immediately before they even got it. And Moses cast the stones down before their eyes. Verse 17, now verse 18. And I fell down before the Lord. Now Moses is calling out to God. As at the first 40 days and 40 nights, I did neither eat bread nor drink water because of your sins, which ye sinned in doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. For I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure wherewith the Lord was wroth against you to destroy you. But the Lord hearkened unto me at that time also. And the Lord was very angry with Aaron to have destroyed him. And I prayed for Aaron also the same time. And I took your sin, watch, the calf which ye had made, and burned it with fire, and stamped it, and ground it very small, even until it was small as dust. And I cast the dust thereof into the brook that descended out of the mount. And at, no, now he's going to say all these places. And the reason why, let's go ahead and, I'll read it. Verse 22 and 23, watch this. He says, as he continues, and at Taberah, and at Mesa, and at Kibroth Hattaava, ye provoked the Lord to wrath. Likewise, when the Lord sent you from Kadesh Barnea, saying, go up and possess the land which I have given you, then ye rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God, and ye believed him not, nor hearkened to his voice. What's he talking about here? He's pointing out all of these different times in the timeline of the history of Israel that they have rebelled against God. And then he summarizes it in verse 24. Ye have been rebellious against the Lord from the day that I knew you. Thus I fell down before the Lord 40 days and 40 nights as I fell down at the first, because the Lord had said he would destroy you. And I love the next two words, the first two words of verse 26. Don't you love those first two words? Yeah. This is what Moses said. I prayed. They were in big trouble if Moses didn't pray. They were in big trouble. Look what he said. I prayed therefore unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, destroy not thy people and thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed through thy greatness, which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Remember thy servants Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Look not unto the stubbornness of this people, nor unto their wickedness, nor to their sin, lest the land whence thou broughtest us out say, because the Lord was not able to bring them into the land which he promised them, and because he hated them, he hath brought them out to slay them in the wilderness. Yet they are thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest out by the mighty hand and by thy stretch out arm. So that's his prayer. This is the rebellion. This is the judgment. Now we need to see the response. How is God going to respond to this prayer request? God said, I'm going to destroy them. Moses said, dear Lord, don't destroy them. Now God's response, 1 through 11, chapter 10. At that time the Lord said unto me, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and come up unto me unto the mount, and make thee an ark of wood. So already we can see what's happening is God's creating a new covenant. He's creating a new connection with his people. Verse 2, and I will write on the tables the words that were on the first tables which thou breakest, and thou shalt put them in the ark. And I made an ark of shittim wood and hewed two tables of stone like unto the first, and went up into the mount having the two tables in mine hand. And he wrote on the tables, according to the first writing, the Ten Commandments, which the Lord spake unto you in the mount out of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly, and the Lord gave them unto me. And I turned myself and came down from the mount and put the tables in the ark which I had made, and there they be, as the Lord commanded me, in the ark. Thus where the tables went. Verse 6. And the children of Israel took their journey from Beeroth of the children of Jachin and Mazurah. There Aaron died, and there was he was buried, and Eleazar his son ministered in the priest's office in his stead. From thence they journeyed unto Gudgada. I don't know how to say that, so we're just going to skip that. Look at verse 8. At that time the Lord separated the tribe of Levi to bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord, to minister unto him, and to bless in his name unto this day. Wherefore Levi hath no part nor inheritance with his brethren. The Lord is his inheritance according as the Lord thy God promised him. So we see the transition to Eleazar. Now verse 10 and 11, this is God's ultimate response. And I stayed them in the mountain according to the first time, 40 days and 40 nights, and the Lord hearkened unto me at that time also, and the Lord would not destroy thee. The Lord said unto me, Arise, take thy journey before the people, that they may go in to possess the land which I swear unto their fathers to give unto them. There's a clear grace that's being given to Israel, a clear grace that's being poured out on them. And I want you to know something right at the start. They're going to go into the land, but it is not because they deserved it. They're going to go into the land, a good land, and they're going to be blessed beyond measure, but it's not because they deserve it. And we need to get that right at the start of this. So let's pray and we'll launch into this. Father, I pray your help this morning, or this evening. Guide us in your path, Lord. Lead us to know, Lord, what you'd have us to do and how you'd have us to think and walk and live. Change us to be like you. Thank you for Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. I don't know. I guess it's been maybe a couple of years ago we were given a piano. In fact, we've moved several pianos through the years that I can recall. Pianos are incredible, you know, masses of weight, okay? These things are huge and heavy. And you could even have a small one, unless it's an electric piano, it's probably super heavy. So I recruited several young guys. Honestly, I don't remember who all I had recruited for this mission, but I remembered at least six of us surrounding ourselves around this piano. And so guys were on, I was right in the middle on the backside of this piano. And then we did the like one, two, three, and we heaved and hefted this thing up. And I remembered while we were carrying this, now I don't feel like I'm carrying very much. You ever carried something and if you get in just the right spot, you're just sort of there as a bumper. You're not really, like you could just let go and it doesn't affect anything, you know? That's the kind of carrying heavy things I like to do. So I'm the bumper, you're going through the door, I'm just sort of in the way, honestly. I'm not really doing anything. If I needed to carry that piano by myself, I would have been crushed under the weight of it. That's how we are in life. We think we are stronger than we are sometimes. We think that we can press on in life and through the strength of our own might, we're going to accomplish and conquer and to do great things. But in life, here's what we need to understand. We're going to be helped so much if we just understand this. That the heavy lifting isn't being done by you. All through your life, the heavy lifting and the blessings and the accomplishments that has happened in our life and being able to get through the hard things of life, the heavy lifting isn't being done by us. If we had to do the heavy lifting on our own, we would be crushed under the weight of the task. And so it's the Lord that does the heavy lifting. It's Him that gets us through those things. Now Israel would have to understand this, or they would be not only confused, but they'd be in trouble. Look at verse 1 again of chapter 9. Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day to go in to possess nations greater and mightier than thyself. Now that's what they needed to know. That's what they needed to know. They're about to go into a land And they're going to conquer a land that has people that's greater and mightier than them. And so if they were going to get or have these victories, the implication is it wouldn't be them that would be winning these victories. It's going to be God, or they're not going to win. Listen, these are nations that are greater. These are mightier and greater than them. Stronger than them. The idea is if you go into battle with these nations, then you're going to be easily defeated. Look at verse 2. A people great and tall, children of the Anakims, whom thou knowest and whom thou hast heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak? That last phrase there, who they had heard say, that means that there is a saying that's been going around, and Israel knew of the saying. The saying was that last phrase, who can stand before the children of Anak? That was the saying. In other words, they knew, everybody knew, that we can't win this battle. If we do this and we don't have God, and God's not the one who's doing the heavy lifting here, we're not going to win this. Israel needed to know that. They needed to remember that. Why? Because God's going to give them the land. He had promised them that. He had promised that He's going to take them in. Look at verse 3. Understand therefore this day that the Lord thy God is He which goeth over before thee. If that verse wasn't there, the idea was that they wouldn't be winning at all. They wouldn't have any victories. They would just be destroyed. And because of the testimony of the Anakims, they would be easily destroyed. But they have God. Look at that first word of verse 3. It says, understand therefore this day. What that means is, here's what that literally means. It means know this and don't forget it. Like, know this within you. Understand this at a fundamental level, that you're going to go into the land, but God is going into the land before you. Okay? Why would they need to understand that, know that? Because of what their tendency would be to not remember that. Look at verse 4. Remember, speak not. And then later on in that verse, for my righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess the land. Verse 6, understand therefore that the Lord thy God giveth thee not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness, for thou art a stiff-necked people. So the reason why they needed to remember, to know and to not forget, that the victories they were going to experience when they entered into the land was because of God and not because of them, is because when they got there, they would tend to forget that it was God that got them there, and they would forget that it was God that won the victories. And they would start to think, well, this is more about us than it is about God. They would do that. Now, how did Moses know that they would do that? Because that's what they typically did. And he didn't just say, because you sometimes do that. No. We'll get there in just a minute. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But he said, the reason why you do that is because you're a stiff-necked people. What's that mean? A stiff-necked means stubborn. And there's not really a better word. In fact, that word shows up later on in the same passage. There's not really a better word to describe stiff-necked than just, you know, stubborn. It could be stubborn maybe with, another, like a line that also says this word, rebellious. Stubborn and rebellious, that's stiff-necked. That's what they tended to be. Stubborn and rebellious. And unresponsive. Unresponsive would be like when you're at church and God's trying to break into your heart through His Word and you're not listening. And then whenever He touches you, or perhaps He does try to break through and He's touching you, He's speaking to you, and He's telling you you need this, but you're stiff-necked about it. In other words, you're unresponsive. You don't move. You're stubborn. Next time, maybe. Not interested. And we're not talking about, like a traveling salesman who's trying to sell dishes to you. We're talking about God. And your stiff-necked attitude is not pointed at a person. Your stiff-necked attitude is pointed at God. And that's what they tended to do. He reminded them of, he gave them evidence. He reminded them of historical events that happened recently. Like recently in the sense of the generation just before that were to go into the land. They were being brought out of bondage. And Moses went to the mountain and was getting the message from God, establishing the covenant, and they immediately rebelled. Right after establishing the covenant, before Moses could even get back with the Ten Commandments, they rebelled against God, building a molten calf. And that's the nature of their stiff-necked attitude, the hardness of their heart. You know, it's so funny. It's not funny like haha funny. It's funny because it's just like it's shocking. Maybe that's the better way to say it. It's shocking how quickly we could go from being on fire for God to being cold, like ice cold brick, a brick of ice towards the things of God. It's incredible to me, like shockingly amazing, but yet I do it too, I suppose. It shouldn't be that shocking, but it is true. How we could have a fire and a passion and a surrender and I love the Lord and I love Him and then suddenly... Where did you go? Where are you? Where's the passion and fire? That's what Moses is talking about. It's like God is going to bring these awesome blessings to you, Israel. But you need to understand something. He's not dumping these blessings on you because of you. Like because of how amazing you are. He's going to bring blessings to you. But you need to remember something, what you typically do. How we so quickly harden our hearts towards God and how easy it is sometimes. He's pointing it out and he showed them about the molten calf. And you know, then it seems like what he says later on in verse 22, look at it with me. And the best thing for you to do is just follow along in your Bible. If you've already closed your Bible, that you shouldn't have done that. Follow along. Verse 22. I'm not going to try to read all these again. I should have practiced more on that. But he starts naming these places. And then the last phrase of verse 22, he says, "Ye provoked the Lord to wrath." So what he's saying here is remember whenever you were there, you provoked the Lord to wrath when you were there. Remember that? And then he brought up another location. Remember when you were there? You know what you did there? You provoked the Lord to wrath when you were there. And then he brought up another one, verse 23, when you were in Kadesh Barnea and you rebelled against the Lord there. You didn't believe him. You didn't hearken to his voice. Remember that? And then look what he says in verse 24. Ye have been rebellious against the Lord from the day that I knew you. So it's like he's saying this. He's saying, listen, now I have all of these times that you've been rebellious and I actually could keep on going. Like, I could tell you more times. How much time do you have? You want to keep talking about this? Because I can bring up a whole lot of other times when you rebelled against God. It's like Moses is saying, don't forget that. Don't forget that that's what you tended to do. That God would work in you and He would deliver you and He would speak to you, but then all of those times that you would just rebel and go back. Saying, well, we could talk about this for a long, you know, a long time. Because of that, there was a judgment that was going to come on them. And Moses said, I prayed for you. Verse 26, I prayed therefore unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, destroy not thy people. So Moses prayed to the Lord to bring this deliverance because of this rebellion, and then God delivered them. Jump all the way to chapter 10 and look at verse 10. And I stayed in the mount according to the first time, 40 days and 40 nights, and the Lord hearkened unto me at that time also, and the Lord would not destroy thee. Okay. Pastor, what are we doing here? Here's what we're doing. Israel is about to be blessed. Loads of blessings. But what they would do is they would forget that it was God that gave them those blessings. They would start to think that it was them that got those blessings. We need to hear that. Why? Because we do that exact same thing. Listen, we are blessed. God brings blessings in our life. And what our tendency sometimes, I think, to do is to forget where those blessings came from. We forget that the good things that we are blessed with in our life are from God. We forget that. And we start to tell ourselves, well, you know, I worked hard for this. I worked hard for this. God didn't give me this, and you're wrong. Not wrong about maybe that you worked hard, but you're wrong that God didn't give it to you. Because those blessings come from God. And the relationships that we have, and all of the blessings that we have, and it's, we're not just talking about like with our job and with our finances and in relationship with our spouse and with our children, the connections that we have in our community, the house that we have, the possessions that we have, the blessings that we experience from God. And we would forget that. Well, you know, I have good health. Well, I take care of myself. I go running and I try to, you know, exercise, and I try to, you know, I try to watch out how much I eat and what I eat. And so I really work at that. And by the way, we should do that. But good health is not because of the discipline that we have in our life. These blessings are from God. And in our life, we would go along and experience these blessings, and the tendency would be to forget that it's the Lord who's bringing these blessings. We would do that. The boys were arguing with each other just the other day. Not recent, like within the last few days, but it would have been last week. Fussing with each other. And I, you know, how many times have I heard this? And I'm not going to try to count, but I'm just saying, maybe you can relate. Scott, why are you messing with my stuff? How many times have I heard that? Mercy. Why do you keep messing with my stuff? Stuff, oh. You mess with your stuff, you know. This is my stuff, you know, and you're messing with my stuff. And they get into these fights because of their stuff. Because somebody messed with my stuff, you know. Stuff is relative, isn't it? It just changes to something else. Adults were like, yeah, I know kids do that. But then what if they got in your toolbox? How do you feel about that? You lose your attitude then? Sure. Who's messing with my stuff? Well, they learn it from somebody. Right. Mm-hmm. And they're fussing and they're fighting, you know, about their stuff. You know, they were doing all of this arguing. And here's some things that I know about my kids that probably you can understand about yourself or your kids. They like to get things. They like to get snacks. Like, they love snacks. It's one of their very favorite things in the entire world, actually. We're going to have snacks. You know. My kids love to play games. Like video games. We're not talking about Monopoly. They like to watch TV. Is it okay if I just tell, let's be carnal here for a minute. They like to do this stuff, okay? All right? They like to get, you know, I know this is going to be shocking, but they like stuff, and they actually like to get more stuff. So they like stuff. They like getting stuff. They like to have fun. They like to be able to do things. They like privilege. They like all of that. You know what they think sometimes? And I try to help them. I try to help them. But you know, especially boys, you're like, hello. Anyway, I'm trying to help them. And I say this to them, you know, you should probably remember this. You should probably remember that blessings come from God and not your dad. Did you know, guys, that blessings come from God and not your dad? Really? Yeah, so you don't just need to put on a show for me so that maybe you can get a blessing from me. Because if you can put on a good enough show for me, and maybe I'll bless you, but you forgot. Blessings don't come from Dad. Blessings come from God. God knows everything about you. Dad doesn't know everything about you. Listen, you want to be blessed. There isn't anybody here who doesn't want to be blessed in life. You want blessings to follow you in all your decisions, don't you? We got big decisions to make, don't we? Yeah. Then what you need to stop doing when you're making decisions is figuring out how it affects everybody and every situation and how it affects your finances and how it affects all of these different aspects of life. Here's what you need to remember when you need to make a decision, actually big or small. You need to remember this, that blessings come from God. If you just recognized that all of the blessings that you experience in your life come from God and Him alone, wouldn't that affect the decisions that we make in life? You know, I need to make a decision about where I'm going to work. Okay. Well, maybe you should think about this, that blessings come from God and not the job that you pick. Well, you know, I need to pick this job, but I'm never going to get to be at church. Okay, but you need to remember that your blessings don't come from your job, they come from God. And if you think that way, it'll change the way that you make decisions. Well, we're having some real financial problems. Don't raise your hand, but I would guess that there's more than just a couple in here. We're having some real financial problems. We're going to have to get another job. We're going to have to do this. We're going to have to sell a whole bunch of stuff. And we start making all these strategies and plans, and we forget when we do that sometimes that blessings come from God. And we get sad. We get depressed and discouraged. And I mean, I'm talking about just down. And what do we do to try to get out of that? I have the things that I do, and it really helps me. I take this pill, or I have this routine. I have a list of six people that I call them in this order, and I talk to them, and they help me get out of this. Okay. You forgot something. Blessings come from God. You want to come out of that funk that you're in? God can get you out of it. In fact, He's the only one that can truly get you out of it. Because peace comes from Him. We in life make the decisions that we make. Listen, if you are choosing the stuff of this world and you are neglecting God, it's because you forgot. Do you know what God said, like, more than once in this passage? Understand. Do you know what that means? Know this. Blessings are coming from me, not you. Like, I'm not even doing this for you because you deserve it. You just need to remember that you're about to be blessed, and it's coming from me. And then He literally said in this passage, don't forget, forget not, forget not. Don't forget this. Why do we need to hear that? Because we forget it. And we make decision, and we do the things that we do so often away from the way that God wants us to go. And we do these dramatic and drastic things sometimes that wouldn't be what God wants us to do because we forgot that blessings come from God. He can bless your marriage. And we run away when we shouldn't run away at times because we forgot that. Instead of just going to the Lord and letting Him do it, we try to figure it out ourselves. We try to fix our marriage by doing it our way. But blessings come from God. You know, I really want my kids to learn that. I want to learn it myself, but I want my kids to learn it. Why? Because they would stop fighting each other, wouldn't they? Like, well, I expect it to stop tonight. Well, you know, we got a ways to go. But it would stop, wouldn't it? A lot of the fussing that we experience in life, not just my kids, but us too, a lot of the struggles and turmoil that we experience in life, a lot of it would be repaired if we would just remember that where the blessings come from and just align ourselves with Him and stay on his path, and don't forget that we tend to be stubborn, that we tend to be stiff-necked. Do it my way. Put God on the back burner. You can do that. But it won't bring blessings. Why? Because blessings come from God. We need to remember that. We all need to remember that. We have this so often, this tendency to just try to smash it out ourselves. But it's too heavy. It's too heavy, isn't it? It's like carrying a piano. I would really love to see if one of you could by yourself lift that piano. Don't actually try. Teenage boy, I can do it. We just can't handle this on our own in life. We need the Lord, don't we? And He fights our battles, and He brings the blessings. We just need to remember that. Blessings come from God. And I hope you will tonight. I hope you will. Father, we thank you for the message, for the word. It's a tendency that we have in life. We would, I think, admit tonight to be stiff-necked and rebellious, to fight you. And it's because we forgot this great truth we talked about tonight, that you have communicated to Israel and to us today. Would you help us to align ourselves with you? Would you help us to make decisions with that understanding? Please. Thank you so much for your blessing, the blessing of your word, and for the change that you make in our lives. I pray for your help tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. If God